I also wish to welcome all of you affectionately to this part of our little seminar where we follow Rupa Goswami's prayer, Utkalika Valari. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askatyade Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Everybody Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Nice to start something which is very pleasing to the soul with the chanting of the holy names. I remember my last meeting with Srila Prabhupada in London. We had come to possibly see him for the last time. It was the year 77. And Srila Prabhupada was preparing for his departure from this world, and he wanted to see one more time his disciples. I still remember when we went into his room and we saw him so thin on a rocking chair. He had big sunglasses, which was untypical for him. To protect his eyes from the light. They were very sensitive. And when we had sat down, he asked us a penetrating question. So, have you understood our philosophy? At that time, we offered many different types of answers. There were about seven of us there. But he was not satisfied. And then finally he said, first of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. He was referring to his point that spiritual life starts with the understanding of Atma Tattva. I'm an eternal soul. I'm different from the body and the mind. But this time he said life is eternal. There is a spiritual life, the unlived life, the eternal life that waits for each one of us. It is a life which is filled with bhakti or devotional service. To understand really bhakti and these powerful prayers and meditations which we will hear about in a little while, we need to understand the difference between what is called primary and secondary bhakti. There are two forms of secondary bhakti, and I think it's very important to understand them. They are called, these secondary forms of bhakti, Aropa Siddhi Bhakti and Sangha Siddha Bhakti. Aropa Siddha Bhakti refers to, or means literally, attributive bhakti. You do any activity which you like. For instance, someone likes going into social media, using the computer, or others may like to earn music or earn money by being a musician, and you use this result of these activities for Krishna. Playing music for money or playing music, programming and using computers in themselves has nothing to do with bhakti. But because you give the result of these activities, the money and your computer skills, to Krishna, by the association with Krishna, it becomes what is called Aropa Siddha Bhakti. You follow? By being close to Krishna, these material activities, we can call them, oh, he's engaged in bhakti. However, performing these activities brings a danger with them. The danger is that you become attached to music, to computers, and not to Krishna. The same holds true for the other form, which is quite similar, Sangha Siddha Bhakti. It means using karma or jnana for Krishna. For instance, someone may like to manage, to find systems where by which he can organize a temple, life, printing of books, and so on. And yes, these activities in themselves are not bhakti, but because they are used for Krishna, they become, in the Sangha with Krishna, they can be called, you know, as devotional service, because they're done for Krishna. But also here, you can get lost in the activity itself and forget Krishna. Don't we all know this? We manage our lives, we manage events for Krishna, but we become so hung up that we sometimes strangely forget Krishna in the process. So these are all secondary practices of bhakti, but there is one primary form of bhakti which is called Svarupa Siddha Bhakti. These activities, Krishna is already inherently present. For instance, in the chanting of his holy names or listening to his divine pastimes, Krishna is already inherently present. And only if someone does this Svarupa Siddha Bhakti, these activities which have Krishna in them, does he spiritualize the other forms of activities where he gives, or where he makes money and gives it to Krishna, or where he, uses any skills which he has in Krishna's service. Without these direct devotional service of hearing and chanting, you can get lost. Prabhupada has spoken about this, I believe, in the third or fourth canto, where he says, also the apparently devotional activities can become karma if you do not think of Krishna, if you do not remember Krishna, if you do not develop your love for Krishna. And it's very, very important. These things which we engage in Krishna's service in themselves are like wires which have no electricity. Only when you bring a living wire, which is full of electricity, that is these Svarup Siddha Bhakti activities in your life, will you be able to enliven your activities, to re-spark your spiritual life and to fan your inner devotional flames. Only then this is possible. So, yes, when Prabhupada asked us, so have you understood our philosophy? The first point was, we are, life is eternal, we are eternal spiritual beings. And the second is our natural activity, our spontaneous activity, is Svarup Siddha Bhakti. That is, to do those activities directly in relationship to Krishna, which are alive with the spiritual energy of Ladini and Samvit Shakti, who are living vayas. Sometimes devotees do not understand this this point, and then they ask themselves the question, I'm doing so many things, but I still lack the realizations in Krishna consciousness. I'm not yet fulfilled. I'm just existing in my life. I'm just maintaining my day-to-day life. At that time, you have to ask yourself the question, how can I unplug and come on the spiritual platform? How can I, as Prabhupada said, first of all, understand that that there is an eternal life, and then live that eternal life by performing Svarup Siddha Bhakti, or those activities that inherently, in themselves, have Krishna there. playing music, making money, programming computers, and giving the result of what you do is not yet full of that living current. It's a material activity, and it becomes spiritual if you offer it to Krishna. And for that you need to know who is Krishna, what is his world, what is he thinking. And this morning I read, Krishna is there in the heart of everyone for one purpose. He, in the form of his silent and persistent inner urging or prompting, brings the soul to a closer understanding of himself, or it makes the soul turn to him. Good. This I felt is necessary in order to give us a little, so to say, preview or a little introduction to today's very exalted subjects. We remember Srila Rupa Goswami is at the end of his life. He's a little old, and he has entered the deep forest of Vrindavan, where he now reveals his heart to Radha and Krishna, his lordships. And he really stretches out for them. As we said, he pays his obeisances to the land of Vrindavan, because here Radha and Krishna have their pastimes. He then goes to one of the gatekeepers, Vrinda Devi, and asks Vrinda Devi to show the divine couple to him. And then he offers a series of questions where he glorifies Radha and Krishna, and then turns directly the personal associates of Radha and Krishna. There are some cowherd boys, three in particular, who are always with Radha and Krishna, or who have insight into Radha and Krishna's confidential pastimes. There's Madhu Mangal, Ujwala, and Subal Saka. And there's, of course, Lalita and Vishaka. And he goes to them and says, you're walking with Radha and Krishna through the forests. You're walking up the mountains. You're fanning Radha and Krishna and bringing water for them to drink. You surely can take pity on me. You know, our material self grows up by association with the society. When we are born, then our mother and father talk to us and say, your name is Johannes or Johanna. They teach us the language which we speak. Then later we are coming to the kindergarten, where we learn to play. We learn what is acceptable behavior, what is not acceptable behavior. When I was a young boy, I went to a dancing school where we had to learn how to, you know, bow down, how to dance these traditional dances like waltz and polonaise, if I remember. And then we went to school. We took higher education, and then in this way our social self developed. also later we went into the association of devotees. We learned to bow down, to say prayers like Manchakalpa, Tarubaischa, and so on and so forth. And in the spiritual society of the devotees, also we learned what is acceptable behavior and what is not. And now we are full of these informations, these which have in some cases become firmly established programs and patterns in us. If we would have grown up, you and me, amongst wolves, we would learn, we would howl like wolves, we would behave like wolves. But no, because we grew up in a human society, most of us in Europe, we behave like Europeans and act like Europeans. Now, just like our social self develops in contact with the society, our spiritual self will develop in the association of the spiritual society, the associates of Radha and Krishna. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami prays to them. And in verse 25, he makes it very, very clear. I would like to sing this verse to you. I hope we know the meter. Shinuta kripayanta praneshayo pranayodaraha kimapi yatayam dina prani niveda yati kshanam pravanita manakim yush mabihi samantilam apyaso yuga padanayo sevam premna kadapi vidasyati. Something like that. Oh, servants of Radha Krishna, you're made with a love for the couple. Huh? The bodies are not of five elements. The bodies are of consciousness, loving consciousness. Please, hear by your mercy what this miserable living entity begs you. Just listen to me. For a kshanam, kshanam means just a small, small moment of your time. You servants, you are filled with love. For the lords of your life. By your mercy, stop for just a tiny second your absorption in the lila of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So then these servants might say, okay, what is it that we should hear? And again Rupa Goswami says, please, no, I'm very miserable, I'm really suffering. Yes, what is it? And then Rupa Goswami says, when will this person who has a humble heart perform service for the couple, divine couple, with love like you have? If you wish to enter this spiritual world, then this is a good address. Rumi says, if you want to learn about love, go into the classroom of the lovers of God. There you can learn all the this. These great devotees who are filled with love, you know, as Rupa Goswami said, who are made of love. Baladev Vidyabhushana says, who are wild with love. Love makes, lights the inner flames. These devotees are ragatmika, known as ragatmika devotees. Their atmika, their atma, has raga. And they can certainly listen to the prayer of persons who are living in this world. If these persons develop a spiritual attitude. This is now a very important point. Srila Prabhupada used to always say to us that you can only enter into fire if you yourself become fire. Otherwise, you will burn yourself. You need to become a spiritual entity or a spiritualized entity in order to enter the spiritual atmosphere. And this spiritualization takes place in the anta chinta deha, that means the inner body. We all have an outer body, which is totally made of material elements, the panch bhutas, the five elements. And inside our gross body, there is the inner body made of mind, of intelligence, and of a sense of identity. So as you are cultivating the remembrance of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, you begin to tune this inner body up to or into the frequency, the mood, the loving mood of these devotees. I would like to give you an example. An expert musician is who lives in the world of music, has melodies in his head. I can see this with our Gaur Krishna. When Gaur Krishna is doing his services, he often hums melodies or sings holy names because there's music in his heart. Now, if such an expert musician wishes to express the music, he will need to tune the instrument, let us say a veena, according to the mood, the tonality, the color of the emotional color of the music. This is the idea of ragas. Or let me say, let me use this as an instrument. If I want to talk very excitingly, I will tune this ragini high. If I wish to talk about meditation, calming the mind and intelligence, coming into a deeper state of contemplation, I will tune the instrument according to the mood in my heart, that which I want to express. So if you wish your consciousness to be able to come into these spiritual realities, you will need to fine-tune it a little bit. Much like an instrumentalist, a musician, will tune his instruments to suit his particular purpose and what he wants to express through his music. There is no faster way in tuning our Antachinta Deha, our inner body. Deha means body, Anta means inner, and Chinta means the thought body, no? The subtle body. There's no faster way than hearing such heartfelt Urdgirna prayers. Urdgirna is a particular form of a composition. It is coming from inside the heart of a realized soul and comes outside. It's a little bit like the volcano. Heated lava is there, boiling, steaming inside the volcano, and then it erupts out and comes flowing down the slopes of the volcano, like that. So these are expressions of the deepest spiritual desires that do come out of the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami. And if we come in contact with them, we become also spiritualized. Imagine even iron, which comes into this lava, boiling, glowing inside of the volcano, huh? This lava it's called. Even ordinary cold iron will melt and become also glowing hot. So in the same way, it's the consciousness, the Anta Deha, becoming affected when we listen to the prayers and we enter the mood, the understanding of the prayers of these great, great compositions of the Goswamis. Valadev Vidyabhushanam says, if Rupa Goswami, an ocean of mercy, had not written his stavas or prayers, the devotees would never have understood sufficiently the qualities of Krishna, Krishna's beautiful form and his pastimes. No? This is Baladev Vidyabhushana's concluding verse and so on. So yes, Rupa Goswami is meditating about, or is praying to the servants of who are full of love for the Lord and the mistress of his life. And he is extremely moved by his prayers. There are many prayers like this in our tradition, and Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our line of spiritual masters, used to appreciate these prayers very, very much. They used to be very much in tune with this. In fact, at the end point of his life, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked one of his trusted devotees to sing a song to Sri Rupa Goswami in his spiritual form as Rupa Manjari. And he prayed in this prayer, it's a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur, the devotee prays to be just be blessed even by a little ray, a shining ray that comes from the nails of Rupa Manjarini in the spiritual world, and the tzetz, this ray which comes here into this world, which sets our inner inner body a blaze, which makes it a flame. Now for this, so this is prayer to the Ragatmika devotees. This is my first point. But my real point for today, I will go a little bit fast, is something which I really feel necessary for me to say, because I feel in as a preaching movement, we need to address the public with very general messages that help them to for instance, stop eating meat, that help them to behave properly, and so on. But for the devotees, we need other messages. And I feel sometimes, or have observed, devotees in the beginning of their spiritual life, they ask questions like, who am I really? What is my identity? But in the course of going through their life, these questions, which are not addressed in a general way in a preaching missionary movement, are coming on the back burner and then are forgotten. In fact, sometimes we are advised to not think about these subject matters. They come on their own when our hearts are purified. If you will study the majority of the presentations, then you will see that a great emphasis is placed on what I've also discussed at the beginning of my presentation. Purify the mirror of the heart, Chetoda Panamajanam, and then it can reflect the spiritual reality. This is important. It is cautionary. It is necessary to be informed, that we are informed again and again. But what are we to do with the verses that we also hear from Srila Prabhupada that say, if there's one price for Krishna consciousness, it is greed. Greed is something very interesting. Greed you have when you really don't deserve something as such. It doesn't come it's not on your table in a there by its nature. There are no servants to put this preparation on the table. You may be poor to eat this preparation, but you think, oh, it would be so nice if I could have this expensive pizza. Oh, it would be so nice. And you develop a greed, and then you begin to think, somehow or other, I will engage it. I know as a little boy, I liked to go to this ice parlor in the town where I was and eat ice. These were the days. Now I don't like ice because it is a pain on the sensitive tooth. But at the time of when I was a little boy, I just knew I have to get that strawberry ice cream, which was made in this one shop, which was about 150 meters away from the church where I had been christened and made into a Christian. And when I was a little baby, I knew somehow I will get this ice cream. I remember once I said, I went to the ice cream person and I said, I need to take a little ice cream. And he said, oh, you have come already a few times. Do you have money to pay? I said, no, I have no money. I'm not qualified, but I can do one thing. I can sing beautifully for you. I can sing for 10 minutes if you wish, and then you give me a good portion of ice cream. Please, I'm really very, very interested to take that ice cream. And the person was a nice person, so he said, yeah. So, okay, sing. And after 5 minutes, he stopped. He said, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough. Here, my little boy, you get your ice cream. I had no money. I had no qualification, but I had something which convinced the person. I was greedy despite my qualifications. In verse 36 Utkalika Valari, we hear this. Rupa Goswami says, Kvajano yamati vapara maharaha, kvadura pamrati gavi apyadha. What is this most degraded person in comparison to that service which is rarely achieved by devotees who have attained a high state of qualification? They have bhava. He says, what is my qualification? What is my status? I have entreated the associates of Radha and Krishna to stop for a moment and listen to me and give me a little service for Radha and Krishna. But this is something which Shiva, who has bhava, wants and cannot get. So where is this most degraded person in comparison to that service which is rare even for the great devotees in bhava? And the question might be, I will come to this a little bit. I need to track back. No, Rupa Goswami wishes here keenly to obtain the anugatya, it's called, the subordination to the eternal associates, to attain the service of Srimati Radhika. But then in verse 26 he apologizes for his many mistakes and offenses, and he thus teaches us the proper mood in which we can obtain genuine spiritual realization. He says, I'm pamara, means sinful. I'm wicked. I'm full of mistakes. I don't know how to behave. But still, I desire with an increasing thirst this seva sukha, this happiness of service that is so valuable. That even people who have already obtained bhakti and prema cannot get it. So the question might be, why do you then ask for it if you are so unqualified? Isn't this a rule that you get something that you are qualified for? If I want to sing in Radha Desh Mellows, it's not so easy. I have to convince the devotees that I will be able to have an inspiring kirtan for an hour or so. Then I might be put on the list, you know. Or if I wish to give lectures, and then people will ask, can you give inspiring lectures? Do you know something? Have you realized something? Only when you're qualified, or you know, when a young boy, I don't know, wants to go into the cinema, he will be asked, can you pay a ticket? Otherwise, how can you go inside? In spiritual life, it's slightly different. When Rupa Goswami says, why, when you are saying you're so Pamara, you're so sinful, you make so many mistakes, why do you want the highest although you are the lowest? He says, I have a keen thirst, and it keeps increasing moment by moment, despite my disqualification. I'm truly helpless. My dear devotees, this is what we are looking for at the entry ticket to more advanced bhakti. It's called lobha. When a person desires for something he is not really qualified for, then this is the quality. On the other hand, if one desires something which one is qualified for, then it's not lobha, because it's not so intense. If I would go now, by the way, now I don't eat ice and so on, but let us just keep the image. If now as an older man, I'm sure I would have the means with me that is necessary to buy ice cream. We spent so much money for our car to drive to the places where we need to go. So an ice cream is peanuts. when I enter the ice cream parlor and I have enough money, I won't be so eager for the ice cream. I would say, what is it? Give it, tell me. And he would say, it's 5 euros, 22 cents. And then I would say, yes, here, you have. It's a different thing than if I come as someone who really doesn't have the required qualification, and who then nevertheless somehow or other will make it possible. This is what is required for Krishna consciousness. That somehow or other, although I'm not qualified, I can't just say this is my right, this is my adhikar, therefore I deserve it. No, I'm in a total different mindset. I feel unqualified and therefore beg for it. And you will be surprised. It's this mood which moves the heart of Krishna. There is a beautiful prayer that is that Rupa Goswami quotes. It's a prayer which he has not written himself. It's a prayer of Sanatana Goswami. He quotes it in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.3.35. It's a beautiful prayer which will make you a little bit aware what we are looking for to enter into this. Oh my Lord, I have no love for you, nor am I really attached to devotional service and practice to the Vaidhi Bhakti, getting up early, chanting my rounds, having darshan, if I'm really honest, I have to say I don't really so much love as of yet the practices of chanting and hearing. And I don't practice the disciplines of Vaishnava yoga. You know, the Vaishnava yoga, there are certain pranayams which you can do while chanting the mantra, which will focus the mind better. I have also no knowledge of pious activities. I cannot claim to be well-born. I come from a non-Vaishnava background. I'm therefore unqualified in every respect. But despite my lack of any qualifications, O beloved of the gopis, my sacred hope in you is so deep that it will not be uprooted because you fulfill the desires of the least qualified. Alas, alas, this hope of mine is causing me pain. It's a strong, intense feeling. It's not about qualification. That's a Western concept which we have. We always need to be good. We always need to rise that we are appreciated. Ladies feel they need to dress, they need to put some, I don't know how to explain, to somehow make themselves attractive. When you speak to others, you think I must say something which is attractive. I want to have likes in the Facebooks. This world is the world of achieving. You know, it's the Karma Kanda. Bharatvarsha is the place where you always work to get a result. You can never be content with the way things are. It's a curse, so to say, upon us here in this part of the universe. In bhakti, you are exiting the result-oriented materialistic society. Here it's about love. Here it's about intense desire, even despite your disqualifications. We will never be qualified for these inconceivable ecstasies in the deep Vaishnav Samadhi of deeper realization. But when Krishna sees this strong desire in the heart of the devotees, then he is impressed. And that comes when we are going through these verses. In the Padma Purana, there's a very, very nice little pastimes about a soul who comes to take shelter of Radharani, who's very unqualified, but very, very eager. These ancient scriptures speak in images to us. We have to translate these images sometimes, not always. Sometimes they're very clear. It's about a she-jackal. The acharyas describe that this image of a she-jackal in German, ein Jackal, eine weibliche Jackalin, she comes to Radhakund, and the acharyas say this is the jiva, the living entity, who is also of a female nature, prakriti, and she comes to her after a long spiritual search, comes to hear about Radha and Krishna, the pastimes. So we come to Radhakund. But there's obstacles. The she-jackal is seen by village boys, and they come with sticks and want to chase her away, and she runs and runs through the village, and everyone is cursing her, and finally finds shelter in a deserted foxhole. But the boys come and burn dry bushes, you know, before the hole, and the hole becomes full of smoke. So the she-jackal starts to cry and to cry and to cry and to cry. Help, 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 help. Please help, 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 help. Oh, help. Oh, Radha, Radha, help. And Radha hears this and says, someone is at my lake and is unhappy. Lalita, just go and find out. So Lalita goes, sees the scene, and goes back into the spiritual dimension of where she says to Radharani, it's a village scene, you know. Some boys are giving trouble to a jackal, because the jackals, they sometimes attack babies, or they're not pleasant creatures. But Radha says she has come to my lake and is crying for me. And go and bring her to me. So Lalita goes and sends the boys away. You may go, leave the jackal alone, and here's some apple for you. You go. And then takes the jackal, who's crying, and the smoke is burning the eyes, and says, going. And comes to Shrimati Radharani. Radharani, seeing this one qualification, the jackal has come to her and has cried for mercy in a loba, great eagerness. She takes her bluish play lotus, which is always in her hand. It is never perishing, it is never fading away, and touches the head of this poor creature and gives this pure creature a spiritual body. There are many narrations in our Vaishnava literature where great personalities, like in this case Lalita, these devotees who are full of love of Krishna or Radha Krishna, have interacted and come to these divine, to these souls who are full of eagerness. My dear devotees, we are hearing about developing our spiritual desires. This is the subject of the Sangha Mela, and we have heard so many nice inspirations from Vaishnavas like Kadambakanana Maharaj, Sutapa. Tomorrow we will hear from our Krishna Chaitra Maharaj. Ultimately, to develop the divine aspirations, you will require to develop this intense eagerness to have something. Was there ever a time in your life when you felt very eager to have something? When I was in Shiraz, Persia, I heard the story of a simple baker boy. He baked bread, and one day his master told him to deliver the bread to an aristocratic family. And when he knocked on the door, it was a big gate, the gate opened, and for a brief moment he could look into the inner courtyard of that estate and see a beautiful, beautiful girl, the daughter of the house. And from that moment he had only one desire, a greed or an eagerness to somehow be together with this aristocratic girl. His friends heard about his ailing heart and said, "This can never happen. You are a simple bakery boy. You are a baker. This is a very rich aristocratic girl from a good family. Her father is a scholar. Forget this." But this boy began to fast. And during the day he would work as a baker. During the night he would stay up, fast and pray. And finally, a messenger of the Lord came to him, in the form of an angel, really. And he said that the angel, "Listen. The Lord is so much more kind, so much more merciful, so much more beautiful, so much more qualified than any human being in this world, including this aristocratic girl." And as he began to talk, the mind of this boy changed. He became wonderful. Devotee and poet, a very, very, his poets are to the Lord are written with the fire of love. You know, it's really very, very moving. And when we hear the prayers of such great souls, something happens in us. So studying verses like Utkalika, like an Utkalika Valari, will awaken in us that lost voice of the soul, that lost hankering of the soul, that lost longing of the soul. Don't think that this is not necessary. You cannot never get Krishna consciousness through only jnana, philosophical understanding of truth. It can show you the direction, but you need to be in contact with what is Swarup Siddha Bhakti, that these things that are inherently filled with the divine Shakti. I hope I can bring the subject to you and into your heart. I am looking now at the clock and I can see I'm a little over time, so I will end here. I thank you very much for listening, and I'm very eager to see if you have any questions.
Hare Krishna. We have a few questions. I hope everything is going good with the internet.
I'm hearing you very much, and I see Krishna Chaitra Maharaj is there, and there's a yellow hand. Can you see it also?
Yeah, sure. I will just make Maharaj co-host so that he can also address us.
Wonderful. This hand is there, the yellow hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we should be able to see Maharaj.
Yes, I can see now, but only in a small way. You know. Yes, here he is in a big way. Hare Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. It's a genuine pleasure to see you, as always. Please enlighten us.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble pronouns. So nice hearing your deep meditational presentation. First, I wanted to share, because you alluded to this song from Srila Narottam Das Thakur, and I have the book here, Shirupa Manjari Pada. So just one verse, verse number 6, I found especially striking. Se Rupa Madhuri Rashi Prana Kuvalaya Shashi Prapulita Hobe Nishidine. His transcendental form is shining, that it's Srila Rupa Goswami's Srila Rupa Manjari's form, is shining like moonlight in my heart. And my heart therefore shines and reciprocates. And then the translation here gets a little purport within that, saying, in other words, the ordinary moonlight lights up the night and its shine illuminates other objects. But the moon of the effulgence of the form of Sri Rupa Manjari shines into the heart and makes the heart also shine back to the spiritual sky. This moon shines not only in the nighttime, but day and night. So I thought that's quite striking. I also have a question, and this might be slightly devil's advocate style, but it's not meant in a challenging way. But we hear from Srila Rupa Goswami, we have this map, so to speak, of progress in spiritual life. Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangota, Tato Bhajana Kriya, going out beginning from Shraddha. And the penultimate stage is called bhava, and then it goes to prema. And as I remember, one of the, I think it's 9 qualities of bhava is asha bandha, which means something like Prabhupada translates as hope against hope. So someone may say, well, Satchinandan Swami, you're saying that greed is only possible for one who doesn't have qualification. And you gave nice examples from your own experience of wanting strawberry ice cream. So, but someone will say, oh, but this mood of greed, we understand from Rupa Goswami, don't expect it to come until the stage of bhava. And that is a very advanced stage. And that means that person's actually very qualified. So is there some resolution to this? The only thought that comes to my mind is that bhava is actually a huge range of emotion, and the real McCoy, we say in American, prema, is just so far up there that therefore the devotee feels asha bandha, hope against hope, even he or she is actually, relative speaking, relative to the lower stages, quite advanced.
So bhava is like a circle that goes very high, and it also reaches, it has a wide spectrum, it reaches also very, so to say, the other areas, the down areas. Yeah. This is a very involved discussion. Please allow me to look at it from one perspective. There are two tracks for the sadhaka, I think, in Krishna consciousness. One is the track where he sincerely makes a sincere effort. And the other track seems to go from up to down. The first track has been laid from us and hopes to get into a more purified area of our life. We try to purify ourselves. But then there is also the line of mercy which comes down from up. And I think both are important at the same time. I think the spiritual world and spiritual logic is so vast that we have to look into other forms of languages and logic systems than the one we are used to. There are two things paradoxically going on. One is, yes, give your best, but the other is, you know, when you read these ashtakams, someone who chants this ashtakam with great attention will surely obtain the association of Radha and Krishna. There are these tremendous blessings. And I think it's both which must be kept aside. If you want, it's a paradox in our logic. That's one thing. And you know, we speak about from Shraddha to Prema as a linear process, going up, 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 up. I think this process is really described, how to do it, in a work of Rupa Goswami, which he calls the Nectar of Instruction. It's one of these guidebooks in bhakti. There are few guidebooks like Mana Shiksha, Instructions to the Mind, is the guidebook which Raghunath Das Goswami has written. Rupa Goswami has written the Upadeshamrita. And if you go through the progression of the verses, you will first find things like sense control, then you will find the Vaishnava Satacha, you know, what qualities to develop, what moods to develop, enthusiasm, patience, perseverance, but then also what external processes to do, follow the footprints of the acharyas, then do the proper activities which bring you to the goal. And as you go further and further and study the verses, which I think is very necessary for us, we will come to a verse where he says the essence of all instructions is one should nicely hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and chant the names and follow in the footsteps of the Anugatya of the great devotees. This is Rupa Goswami and then the Ragatmika devotees in the spiritual world and so on. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada, who follows the line of explanation of Bhaktisiddhanta, says this process is there for those who are perfected as well as for those who wish to attain perfection. You will find it's a very common understanding that both are entitled to do this, but of course those who are not perfected have to control the tongues, vachuvegam. They have to control anger and all these manasavegam. They have to start, they have to be aware of the first steps also. No? But then you can go into the path of you know, then But again, I want to say, my dear devotees and the Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, you are asking the question, which I think all, it's the question, it's the hard problem in the spiritual life. In science, it's a question of what is consciousness. That's the hard problem still in science. And this is the hard problem in Vaishnavism, of entitlement. When are we qualified? What should we do? Should we always wait that automatically it will come one day? Or is there something we can do at this stage? So to approach this, and I would really like to say we have to allow that the inner spark of the soul gets fanned, and that happens by those who are alive, who are there, the Radhika devotees. It's a must. Of course, if there's young devotees who have no attraction to this and who think, oh, I want to hear about vegetarianism, then yes, we will not speak about it, of course. But as we grow older, and we really need to see, because otherwise we dry out. That is a little bit my attempt of an answer. But it's so nice to see you. And after, when everything gets calm, we old men will get on WhatsApp and WhatsApp around with our WhatsApp telephones. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. The next question, we have actually many questions, but because the time is also a little bit short, we will see how many we can take. But we have also is Grace Sutta Paprabhu, who is also there with a question, so we will give him the priority for the next one.
Please let us see Sudhava also. That is the father. Come, see Sudhava. Hare Krishna Sudhava Babu. Hare Bol.
Maharaj, thank you so much for the very nourishing presentation. There's many things I would like to reflect upon, but because of time, I'll just try to present one inquiry before you that's in my mind. You quoted this beautiful verse of Rupa Goswami, the Ashabandha prayer, and it's very beautiful because it shows the greed, and then it shows the feeling of the devotee in their disqualification, but then the mercy of Krishna, which then results in great hope. And so this is very nice, you know, that we have this progression. And I was thinking that in our life, it's this this hope that Krishna is very merciful, that gives us solace and keeps us going in spiritual life. But I just had an inquiry that I just always found this verse very interesting, because in the last line, Rupa Goswami says, I have this unbreakable hope, and this hope is giving me pain. And I always wondered about that and contemplated on it a lot. And I just wanted to ask you, how do we understand that? Because generally we look for developing hope as a means to pacify the heart and find solace. And so is when Rupa Goswami says the hope is giving him pain, is it some kind of transcendental pain? Or and just if you could share something on that.
Yeah, the language of transcendence says different things. There is a book called Vraj Chintamani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which says, when the Vrajvasis say moha or illusion, they mean great love for Krishna. And when they talk about fainting, they talk about samadhi, of absorption in Krishna. And there is, I once picked I wrote a dictionary of the vocabulary of the transcendental language, and it's different. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati makes it very clear when, yes, externally the feeling is longing, crying, and so on, but internally it is meeting. So two things go on, and the example, which is really still imperfect because it's from the world, is when you drink hot sugarcane juice, there are two feelings. One is, that's really hot. The other is, oh, it's so good, you know. So it's paradoxical, but of course, hot sugarcane juice is dangerous, you know, that can burn your tongue. So the example is not 100%, it's only 50% good. Yes, it is a feeling which is there in separation. The mood of separation is externally the beloved Lord is distant, but internally he's right in the heart. And there's a verse spoken by Radharani who says, if I should choose between meeting the Lord or being separated from him, I would choose viraha, separation. Why? Because if I'm with the Lord, he said there's only one Lord. But when I feel such intense mood of separation, I see him everywhere. You know, like if in this world we can see when a mother is very is looking for her child, she can see in all little shoes, my child, you know, the shoes before the temple, the little baby shoes, my child, my child, my child. It's a feeling which needs to be experienced in order to be understood. But it's not a feeling we should fear. Hope against hope is wonderful. And I believe every devotee has a little experience when we are very moved in spiritual life, and we stand before the deities and we pray, and all of a sudden we feel he's there, the Lord is there, he's right there. And then multiply this feeling 1 million times, and then you have the feeling of viraha. But this whole idea, I think it is so important that you may have noticed while you were speaking, I requested, it was Gokrishna, to find one verse for us here. Rupa Goswami uses this technique very often, and it needs to arrive in the mind of us. He writes a verse, a prayer. It's called Prarthana Padati. Padati is a guidebook. It means the steps of an elephant. Pada means steps, and hati means an elephant. So when an elephant moves, he leaves very clear footprints in the earth, because he's so heavy that you can easily follow him. So this is something easy to follow, so that we learn the art of prayer. It's Prarthana Padati. I really recommend you, I can ask Gokrishna to write this down, and you can find it. It's really, this is how to pray. And it starts with glorifications of Radha and Krishna, and then he describes his own situation. He says, this person who is bowing down to you is desperate. I'm rolling on the banks of the Yamuna. I'm agitated in my heart, and my words are not very clear. They are choked. I want to say, I'm an offender. I'm devoid of good qualities, and my intelligence is very crooked. I am a cheater. But here I have a request. Please give a particle of the gift of charity, of the gift of servitude to you. In other words, give me your personal service, even a particle, a short moment of it. So, Valadev Vidya Bhushana says, why can he make such a request? He is just explaining he's an offender. He has no good qualities. He has a crooked intelligence. And he says, though the candidate is not qualified, there is a quality in the person he asks for mercy that makes him a fit candidate. He says in the last verse of this prayer thing, you should not neglect me, since your heart is always like butter shining with mercy. What is the quality of butter? When there is heat near the butter, it melts and it flows away. So great personalities, when they see that someone is miserable, when they and is crying and is wanting, then their heart melts. I think you have seen this as a preacher. When someone comes and they're really, you go like, I can understand your suffering. And then something comes in the heart when one is a noble person, that let me help. You may see a beggar I've heard this many times, a beggar is there and they are begging, they are freezing. And I have passed by and I think, why should I pass by? I mean, and I asked Guru Krishna, do we have something to eat? Do we have something with us? And then we give some bread for you. It is good bread. And it's normal. So Radharani is like this also. It's not your quality which is important here. It's Radha's quality that she is like this. I hope I have answered it. I'm a little joyful here, or ecstatic is not the word, but a little, how do we say? I'm inspired by the subject matters which I'm reading from my notes, so I hope I have answered everything.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Yes, let us go back now to Gaurahari.
Thank you, Gomar.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.